I'm Eleanor Tom, and I'm the Communities Writer in Residence for the Citizen Project. I went to Tollcross to meet the I Write Writers Group. Together, we decided to create a series of podcasts for people who are new to Edinburgh or perhaps new to Scotland. In this podcast, you're going to hear the poets of the group. But we'll start with an introduction from their tutor, Billy Cornwall.
Hi, I'm Billy Cornwall. I'm a tutor of the writers group. It's called I Write. We meet in the Adult Learning Project. ALP is part of Tollcross Community Centre. You can maybe hear some of the other groups in the background there. And we've been meeting on Friday afternoons for years. We try not to just sit and write stuff around a coffee table. We've also done a lot of readings in pubs. We've read at the Meadows Festival. Some of us have read quite a lot at Edinburgh Festival Fringe and further afield as well.
Hello, my name is Barbara Munro. I enjoy writing poetry, and I've written here three poems. The first one is about the scene I saw actually on the water of Leith, where a heron catches a fish. It has certain observers in the forms of two big black rooks and a robin. Fishing on the water of Leith. The heron stands motionless, grey, sleek silhouette. His head turns abruptly, suddenly, ungainly. He plunges into the rushing cold waters, wings outstretched, belly flop. But up he comes, victorious, with a shining sliver, which flaps and twists, looking for escape. The master fisherman sweeps to the riverbank. Two black rooks gather, sentinels, waiting for the smallest error from the deft juggler, who adroitly turns the fish, aligns and swallows. A lump descends his neck. The heron crouches, spreads his wings and flies upstream with curved neck and outstretched legs, reminder of prehistoric Archaeopteryx. The rooks watch over the now empty spot, cheated of an easy meal, while a robin sings its sweetness into the crisp morning air. The second one is contrasting the cold summer here in Edinburgh with the hot, warm Mediterranean summer, how I very much prefer this cold summer with all its beauty. Summer on the Firth of Forth. The wind has blown incessantly, he said. I make no comment. I do not remember that wind, but only the sun, reflected in her shining eyes on Inchcombe Island, she in love. Where is the summer, they ask, indignantly. It's June the 10th, and still. A north wind whips up the waves, as high as mountains. My face covered in spray, hair blown back, I breathe the salt air and watch the guillemots fly low over the water, their bodies lightly brushing the surf. I care not for their summer, baked sienna beaches, tipped with grovelling waves, a lace border to the deep med blue, dazzling bright sunshades and trickling ice creams, muscled six-pack bodies built up with months of winter gym, play flirty with the fake tans of bleached blonde faces. I walk away to turn some stones, discover a crab or jeweled anemone hidden under draping seaweed, which dresses the bare rock into decency. The third poem is The Har, which is a cold mist, which is really exclusive to Edinburgh and the East Coast. It's in fact historically quite interesting because it gives the reason to the 1 o'clock gun. Har and the 1 o'clock gun. Suddenly, rolling in from the east, the dreaded mist comes up like a beast. It envelops the islands, swallows the shore. It even engulfs the house next door, burying gardens and trees in a cold, dank shroud. Summer skies obscured with dull grey cloud. It chills the people right to the bone, and they can't tell morning from afternoon. A Danish word, exclusive to here, the har is what mariners used to fear. Before, they sailed with chronometers stilled by the fall of the time ball on Calton Hill, seen on a clear day from the Firth of Forth coast. But when the fog rose, all sight was lost. John Hewitt returned from Paris one day with a brilliant idea which he put into play. A gun would fire from the castle. The sound towards the Firth of Forth coast would be bound. The sailors could then set sail on time, whatever the weather, whatever the clime. So the har was the reason for the 1 o'clock gun, and has been since 1861. Long gone are the mariners, the intrepid whalers, tall ships, busy harbour, and stalwart sailors. But even today, with military aplomb, from Monday to Saturday, they fire the gun. It gives the tourists a fright as they climb Castle Rock, while residents just check the time. So common a sound, it does not appall, and they may not even hear it at all. But the har itself they cannot ignore, that cold, damp mist creeping over the shore.
My name is Anna Phillips, and I'm a member of iWrite writing group. I was brought up in Edinburgh, but moved to Aberdeen in the late 70s to study. Then I moved to Texas, and then in 2015, I moved back to Edinburgh. So the Aberdeen Beach poem is my memories of going to Aberdeen Beach, which I did a lot. And the view from my flat is actually the view from my flat. The view from my flat. I stare forlornly out of my window. The har has rolled in from the Forth. The houses are bathed in dense fog. The gasometer is shrouded in the mist, but I know it is there. Fife across the water is hidden from view. The coastal villages that sparkle on a bright sunny summer day are invisible to my searching eye, but I know they are there. Looking west, I search hopefully for the definitive outlines of the three bridges that cross the Forth. I miss their iconic structures, but I know they are there. I walk through the flat and gaze southward with hope. The har has not reached that far. The spires of Fettes College state majestically, yes, we are here. Further south to the east, Arthur's Seat and the Crags stand proud and strong, sheltering Holyrood and the Scottish Parliament, stating smugly, yes, we are here. Looking west, the castle dominates the central Edinburgh landscape, marking the top of the Royal Mile, waiting patiently for the 1 o'clock gun to boom. Yes, I am here. The Pentland Hills spread further, both south and west, promising adventure, the ski slope, country walks and hill walking, teasing me to discover where they are. Aberdeen Beach. Waves lapping nonchalantly against the sands, reflecting the warm breeze blowing from the south, to which only clear skies are visible, from which the sun shines clean, sparkling on every silvery granite surface it can find. In clumps, people wander on the beach, venturing not too far into the cold North Sea surf. In waves, various groups pass by, roller skaters, lazy strollers, and of course the hot, fit, fast walkers. Even in the midst of this busy promenade, a unique, solitary peace prevails, the perfect, warm, free company for my rich black coffee, my pen, my soul.
My name's Anne Milne, and my poetry writes itself. It just comes to me, and I have to write it down there and then, like Auld Reekie was written when I was on a bus looking at the state of Edinburgh. Auld Reekie. Auld Reekie's fond dune, you wouldna recognise Edinburgh toon, scaffold no hour, Queen's Gallery of Wootton Glower, holes in the road, only some attended. When the devil will they be mended? Workers on phones, or smoking fags, sitting in vans? Who's in charge? Road markings, street signs, faded and gone. I bet that I am not alone in being in despair about this formerly beautiful city. Now it only fills me with pity. The St James Centre's gone to the moon. Still, they say it'll all be fixed soon. Aye, right, we believe them. Well, a woman's place, that really mattered to me, so that's how that's written. A woman's place. Aye, a man's man for all that. That Donald Trump would gie ye the hump. To think his mother was a Scot? She's got a lot to answer for. No, he must have ta'en after his feyther. A new fiver features a woman. What are things coming to? Well, in Scotland you ken. I'll tell ye again about a woman's place. A woman's place is at the sink. That's what you think. A wife should do as she is told. Aye, those were the days. We've changed our ways. We've broken the mould. Kezia Dugdale, Ruth Davidson and Nicola Sturgeon, all women, bearing the burden of leading their parties in the Scottish Parliament. But when I went to school, the rule was that boys were superior and girls inferior. But wow, look at them now. They've broken the mould. And what about women chancellors, prime ministers and presidents the world over? There's nae going back. They've got the knack. You never thought you'd see the day. What would your beloved rabbi say? A woman's a woman for all that. Jock Tamson's bairns, I really do mean welcome to Scotland. We're all Jock Tamson's bairns. We're all Jock Tamson's bairns. We're all Jock Tamson's bairns. I'll gather you in my erns. You're my sister. You're my brother. They say Eve was our mother. Who knows? We differ in height, weight and colour, in ability, preference another, but we're humans just the same. What's in a name? Does it tell your sex, religion or nationality? We're all creatures of quality. We all matter. Let us love one another. We're all Jock Tamson's bairns. Welcome to Scotland. And vote Trident out matters most. It's true that for 40 years I've been shouting the odds. Here's hoping. Vote Trident out. The rosy of the world is not for me. I'll settle for my own country. Mine is our nuclear weapon aggression to others, whoever they may be. Observe our beautiful land and sea, the peaceful nation that we could be. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So let's not live by the gun or consider nooking anyone. I give you the rose of peace. Vote Trident out, you'll hear me shout. I've been anti-nuclear for 40 years. It's immoral, illegal and expensive. The damage it can do is extensive. What are we proving? We should be moving from when Britain had an empire and ruled the world. Let's lead in a different way and show that we may have a nuclear-free world. Preserve peace on earth. Vote Trident out.
We're going to finish with a poem from Billy Cornwall, the group's tutor. But first he's going to tell us a bit about his writing life. And in the next podcast, we'll hear some fiction from other writers in the group.
I've been published in about half a dozen big magazines and about 20, 30 smaller magazines. And those smaller magazines, that's actually where you really learn your craft. Because when some editor you've never met before says, yeah, I'll publish this, it's a brilliant feeling. Living in the Sky by Billy Cornwall. There's a couple in the window of the tower block across the way. They're either dancing or something hellish is going on. It can be difficult to tell from this distance, near enough to see that something is happening, too far away to see exactly what. The neighbours are like little hamsters in their cages, all piled on top of each other, rooms all lit up, kitchens, living rooms, tantalising shadows. And all this silent dancing going on, our little lives spinning while other people look at us, wondering what the hell is happening. There are noises out in the corridor. It's either ghosts or neighbours passing. If they're ghosts, they're noisy buggers, inconsiderate to say the least. You hear the lift humming away to itself at all hours of the day and night, dragging itself up and down from one closed door to another. All these locked front doors staring blankly at each other. God knows what goes on behind there. Now the other tower blocks are just monstrous shapes in the har. You get a momentary glimpse of the Pentland Hills in the distance, then they're gone. It seems like all of Sight Hill has vanished, but it's out there somewhere, waiting. The lights through the fog make the tower blocks look like ships in distress. Phantom ships just over there, seeming to move a little, silent. You don't know what lives are being lived on those other haunted ships. You don't know if they are watching you and wondering what you're doing and why. And where will we all be in a couple of years? Will we be living closer to the ground as nature and God intended, or still lost up among the clouds in the har, living like ghosts in the sky?